Littrell's absolutely fine the way he is. You have one bad game. I think if we recall, he had the best game that anyone's ever seen about 3 weeks prior to that.
I think Littrell is clearly a distracted footballer at the moment, and that's a distraction to everybody else. If Littrell and the Roosters can't guarantee that he's going to give 100% to the cause, then there's no use picking him. They're going to have to find someone else. All the Blues need is Latrell Mitchell motivated and at his best. I don't think they can win without him.
With respect to Phil and Brad, if you want to get a quote on how Latrell's going or how he actually is, I think Trent Robinson's the man to ask. Let's just ease the jets and take it easy.
Cool the jets, ease the jets from Cooper Cronk. The big debating point, isn't it, coming out of Origin number one, what to do with this prodigious talent in Latrell Mitchell. Phil Gould from the Nine Network passing his comments. He was super critical, really, of Latrell Mitchell in the wake of that defeat for New South Wales at Suncorp Stadium, Loz. And Cooper Cronk coming out and saying, look, if you want to get inside the head of Latrell Mitchell and find out his attitude, speak to Trent Robinson. And Trent Robinson, well, they've spoken to Trent Robinson, and Trent Robinson came out vehemently denying there were issues with Latrell Mitchell. By the way, good to see him back training with the Roosters yesterday down there at Moore Park after some time away after Origin number one, but he shouldn't be made the scapegoat for what happened in New South Wales at Suncorp Stadium. Good morning to you, Loz, again, and good morning to Dean Ritchie from the Daily Telegraph. Hello, buddy.
Yeah, good morning, TK. Good morning, Loz.
What are you making it all, mate?
When Gus talks about distractions, and he's no dummy, Gus, he's got his ear to the ground, he knows what's going on. What do you think he means by distractions?
I think there's two factors here, Laurie, as far as I can read into the situation. One is that Latrell is feeling the pressure of becoming a superstar. I think that game against the West Tigers, when he scored 24-odd points,
how good was he?
Took him to another level, I think, in terms of stardom in rugby league. And I think he's just struggling to come to grips with suddenly becoming, or going from a star to a superstar. And there's also an issue with his contract and his manager. He split with his manager. He had about 8 to 10 managers, from what I could hear, queuing up to sign him. I think that just played in his mind a bit. He wasn't quite sure which way to go. So a couple of little things in Latrell's mind, which others might be able to block out. I think Latrell is struggling to push out.
I've got to say, and I'll ask both of you, I can't even fathom the thought of dropping Latrell Mitchell for game number two.
And I
don't know where, and Gus is, everyone's entitled to their opinion, I just don't know why he's so sort of vehement in thinking that he should not be there, because who's the next bloke coming in?
Well, it might be Gus trying to motivate him.
It might be Gus. There can always be a little bit of an edge.
Trying to motivate Latrell Mitchell to get the best out of himself in the next few weeks for the Roosters and also New South Wales. I ran into Latrell at Fox. He was on the Matty John show, and I think it was the night the team was selected.
Okay.
And I had a chat to him that night, and there was no distractions that I noticed, and he was in a really good headspace, and he was excited to be a part of Origin, and he was pumped. And unfortunately, he just didn't play well in Origin 1. And, you know, I don't know what distractions he's having, but obviously there's talk, which you've just confirmed with the manager and so forth. But I think, you know, he's gone home, he's been with his family. I think there won't be an issue with Latrell going forward.
I had a couple of dealings with him in Origin camp, Laws, and I found him exactly how you found him. Relaxed, calm, open, friendly, happy. There was certainly no pre-game indication that he was distracted. Look, it's one bad game. I think we're all going totally over the top here. This guy is a genuine star. Yeah. He'll be there for Origin 2. I can't help but maybe smell a rat. Freddie to Gus.
Looking to motivation.
Come forward.
Yeah.
Because motivation is an issue. Freddie was quite open at Brisbane Airport on the Thursday when we left. We interviewed him and he said, look, he's got some motivation issues at the moment, Latrell. Yeah. But again,
well, that's the way I sort of read it. I read it as though we need to give Latrell a bit of a poke. Who's the man best to do that? And the best man to do that is
now,
Gus.
You know, I love a conspiracy theory, you two, right? I love it. But the only issue with that is directly after the full-time whistle went, it started. From Gus, right? So I'm just wondering whether, you know, the well-laid theory that we may well have, it happened very, very quickly. I'll tell you one of the big issues for our listeners and our viewers, Dean and Loz, as Loz would know, this June 30 deadline. right? And now the old madness, the old merry-go-round for the players. It's got into, remember the merry-go-round, you get it faster, and you're trying to hang on the outside.
Before we go to the toilet.
It feels like that now, doesn't it, with June 30 looming. But there's blokes going everywhere.
Yeah, there's a piece that I wrote in this morning's Telegraph about Dane Gagai possibly on the move from South Sydney. Not confirmed yet, but he's a bit restless there. He's a bit disappointed that South's went and bought Jimmy the Jet. Not personally aggrieved with Roberts, but just the situation. His family hasn't quite settled in Sydney. South's family have surrounded his Gagai's family, but it just hasn't quite worked out there. There's interest from the Gold Coast, and he wants to play centre. And he figures when Braden Burns comes back, Gagai's there, and Kyle Turner, he'll be on the wing. Wayne thinks he's a winger. South think he's the best winger in the world. Perhaps that's a little over the top, but certainly he is a winger of quality.
I don't think it's over the top.
Saw in State of Origin.
Not with a maroon jersey on. He should go to Manly. Because I can tell you what, he loves that colour.
Well, he scored 11 tries in 11 games for Queensland, and he's dangerous. The other thing he does in Origin is just he gets the Queenslanders going forward. He bounces out of tackles. It's like he's got spiders on him, and he gets a quick play of the ball, and the next thing you know, he's got their roll on started. But if you're talking about June 30, surely South wouldn't release him this year.
That's unlikely, Loz. Look, June 30 is obviously a deadline which a lot of players are looking at right now with 2 weeks to go. But I can't see Wayne Bennett this year, given the quality of their roster and their healthy prospects of winning the title, would let a world-class player just walk out. I mean, it wouldn't make any sense whatsoever.
Yeah. What about fan favourite at Parramatta, Tim Menner? What's the latest update there?
Yeah, it depends on who you believe, Loz. I wrote that story yesterday, and Parramatta are adamant that Tim Menner has been behind this from the start. The theory being that he was told he basically wasn't going to play NRL again this year. He thought, well, if I can get another club, even just for 12 weeks, it puts me back in the shop front window, and from there I could possibly get an extension at the Tigers or go to England.
Yeah.
So Manor is the one in Parramatta's eyes that has initiated this, but those close to Manor say that Parramatta made it very clear that he wouldn't be re-signed next year.
And it makes it difficult for him to go to England because there's a quota. You've got to play a certain amount of games in your last year in the NRL before you're allowed to go to England and get your visa. Is that right?
Correct.
Yeah.
What it does clearly show to me too, that Ben Matalino and Russell Packer are on the nose big time at Concord for the fact that he's Michael Maguire's brought in a 31-year-old veteran and virtually told him that he's above the other two who are languishing with injury and in reserve grade.
This is another example of what happens in club land. It happens all the time, isn't it? Michael Maguire comes in, he inherits the bus full of players from Ivan Cleary. By the time you sort of get the people you want with your particular club, you can be out the door and the next coach comes in and he inherits your club and then he's got different views. Yeah. It's just a revolving door, isn't it?
The cycle continues. Keep going. Yeah. But so where is Packer and Matalino and Josh Reynolds has been mentioned, by the way. Where are these guys likely to end up?
Well, Packer and Matalino are on, as I understand, between 650 and 7. And Reynolds this year, I think, is on around 9. He's got Elijah Taylor as well. So he's got about $3 million of players that aren't performing. So it's a mess at the moment, their roster and their salary cap. And
But they're going to have to pay.
Correct. Well, Packer and Maguire have fallen out, Laurie. They virtually, as I understand, don't talk. Both very strong-willed personalities. But as we know with Madge, if you're off with Madge, you're off with Madge. And there's not a lot you can do to come back into the good books. A bloke close to Packer told me yesterday, he said he's not going anywhere. He said, this bloke's been in jail. He won't be intimidated by Madge Maguire. So if he's on 700, he'll just sit there and copy 700.
Well, what about Josh Reynolds on 9? No, I'm not going anywhere either.
Absolutely.
No, not unless someone's prepared to pay for you to go to their club. But they're going to have to pay a fair chunk for Josh to leave the West Tigers. And then it comes down to, I suppose, whether you're happy as a footballer to run around in
reserve. Well, you want to play. And that, you do want to play,
that's
don't
the thing. You
well,
want to play
your future
first,
earnings, doesn't it?
Yeah. There's no doubt about that. We will get to footy, but just all these other contracts sort of fade into insignificance compared to one bloke who starred last Wednesday night. He was in a maroon jersey, Ponga, up there at Newcastle Knights. What's the movement there?
It's got a little quiet, Tecco. It's a strange situation. He's still got 2 years to run after this year. So it's a long-term contract. So there's a few people in Newcastle getting a little bit edgy about why they haven't re-signed him long-term. But in a sense, he is signed long-term at the moment. Look, Newcastle, if you speak to them privately, are very comfortable with where they're at. They have started talking, albeit preliminary. Talks, though, have gone a bit cold over the last month. Nothing sort of happened there, but I think that might be Kalen saying, let me just get through Origin and we can start up again. But Canterbury, I spoke to them during the week, and as of 2021, they've got $8.5 million war chest. They've got two players on contract only for 2021 onwards. So they're saying, we will have the money to match any club and any player in the game. So certainly Ponga is on their list, as are the Trbojevic brothers.
Well, if he keeps going the way we think he's going to go, Kalen, at the end of 2021, he could be well worth over $1.5 million.
Yeah, he could. Or the lure of playing for the All Blacks at the next Rugby World Cup in 4 years' time, that would give him 2 years under his belt in the world of rugby union, which he played all throughout his schoolboy career. It's not a new code. It's not a new sport for him. He would be, and the marketing dollars he could generate in New Zealand would be astronomical.
100%. Look, there is a fear that he will end up in an All Blacks jumper, which would be a crippling blow for rugby league. You don't want to be losing any of your stars, particularly one to a rival code. But Laurie's right. I think there's a theory inside the Ponga camp that why rush into a extension with 2 years to go?
Yeah. No
I
need.
Could be ripping myself off.
Yeah, no
he could be. If he keeps playing the way he is, his stocks are rising every game, Kalen Ponga. So $1 million player now, as you say,
well, that's
Loss,
what I mean.
He might think, $1.3 million.
Yeah, $1 million now, and it sounds big, but in 2 years' time, the market may have changed, and he might be worth $1.3 million to $1.5 million to $1.6 million.
You look at some players, Loz, don't you, and you think this bloke's a good player, but he may go a bit cold in his career.
Ben
but
Hunt,
this bloke,
Ben Hunt got $1.2 million.
You just know he's going to be a star. Well, there you go.
So, Ash Taylor's on $1 million.
On $1 million.
So what's Kalen Ponga worth then?
Well, that's exactly right. You know what you're getting with...
It beggars with, belief, doesn't it?
With Kalen. Talking about money, what about the Roosters signing this young Sam Walker, son of Ben Walker, reportedly in the paper today. He signed a contract worth $300,000 for 2 years.
What, he's 16?
He's 16 years old. He's 17, I think, later
Sunday?
This month. Yeah, Ben Walker's son, of course, the former Bronco and Northern Eagles player. 11 NRL clubs, as I understand, showed interest. Yeah. He's a halfback, so quite clearly he would be the logical successor to Cooper Cronk. The ARU also showed interest, as did the three Queensland clubs, Cowboys, Titans, Broncos.
And he was a star in the under-18 State of Origin.
Correct.
Well, state game the other night, where Queensland defeated New South Wales.
I spoke to a club about 6 weeks ago, Laurie, before this had all unfolded, and they said even then, as a 16-year-old who wasn't that well-known, there was $200,000 price tag on his head. And even some of the clubs were thinking about paying it, but there was a bit of a, you know, whoa, what is going on here? We've got a 16-year-old kid who's probably at least 2 to 3 years from NRL who's already got $200,000 price tag. It's just extraordinary. So I can't wait to see the kid play. I haven't seen him apart from a bit in that 18s game, but he must be something special, and he will be playing under a lot of pressure.
Yeah, I must say, I haven't seen a great deal of him either. I've looked up some of his highlights on YouTube, quickly saw some of the highlights from the under-18s performance. He looks as though he's a very talented kid, and the Roosters have identified him as someone that will play halfback at their club over the, you know, the coming years. But again, yeah, it's always a bit of a risk when you sign a 16-year-old, but who knows, in 2 years' time, if he turns out the way that they're expecting him to turn out, what they've signed him for will be pittance.
Yeah, and playmakers are just so hard to come by, aren't they?
Yeah.
So that's a desperate one. Yeah. On the footy field, there's some the Canberra Raiders under Ricky Stewart. They've had some injury concerns, but they're sneaking up that table there in that fourth position. And come the weekend, they've got a big challenge. It's going to be a crackingly good game. It's going to be Thursday night, so it's tomorrow night our time. And they're going to be starting favourites against the Sharks, who are starting to get their players back. Wade Graham, we saw come back from that knee reconstruction. He was solid. He's only going to get better. And Sean Johnson, Dino, he comes back for the Cronulla Sharks.
Yeah, he certainly does. This is a good game, Laurie, and I'd love to get your thoughts on this. I look at the Canberra Raiders, and I don't quite know what category to put them in terms of this year's premiership. Are they a top eight side? Yeah. Are they a top four side? Or are they genuine contenders? I'm just a bit confused. I look at them, and quite clearly I'm impressed with what I see, but I don't know where to put them. Where would you put them? Are they title contenders?
In my mind, not yet. I still think they're a top four side. More than capable, if things go their way, of winning the comp.
Is halfback their problem, though?
I think in the half, yeah. I still see the Roosters, Souths, and Melbourne being the three teams that stand out to me. Then I put the Raiders with the Sharks and the Knights. You know, they're a team that is capable if things go their way. The top teams get some injuries. Fatigue may play a part at the end of the season because they've got so many rep players, those other three sides. But I have them on the next level down. But things start to change around now, I reckon. Around Origin time, the back end of Origin, and you'll see whether those teams are truly capable of winning the comp. But I think you need to finish in the top four to win it.
Just before I go too, guys, Matt Lodge, a bit of news there. Parramatta have expressed an interest there. But I think you'll find he is leaning towards staying at the Broncos, albeit he has previously stated that he would like to come back to Sydney.
Is he the front runner for New South Wales?
As I understand,
replacement for
Clemmer's out.
Clemmer? Got his nose in front. Or the other theory that I think they're mulling with is maybe Finucane? A Trbojevic up front, bringing in a Dale Finucane. Wade Graham's probably a game short.
Yeah.
Start with Cameron Murray and maybe push Jake Trbojevic up front. Tom Trbojevic will come back.
Yep. Centre or wing?
I think wing, Laurie, but I know last year they seriously looked at him as a centre. So there is some theories inside the Blues camp that he could play centre, albeit he doesn't do that at club level. Lodge, Campbell Gillard, Pryor, the other options at prop. But I spoke to Glenn Lazarus during the week, of course, a legendary prop, and he said, look, your times have changed. Jai Arrow is a starting prop for Queensland, doesn't play prop for the Gold Coast.
Yeah.
And Papali, the same down in Canberra. So maybe it's time to think differently in terms you don't need 120k hulking prop.
No.
That's his theory.
Yeah, no, you know what? I wouldn't disagree with it. But I think it also comes down to your wingers. And my concern in Origin 1 was Addo Carr and Nick Kotrick. And I think I produced the numbers. They don't do a lot of work at the back end of the field.
Mm.
So when you're starting to get pressure placed on you by the opposition in terms of you're not going forward... all the good teams have their big wingers or wingers at 18 to 20 carries a game and they come and help your forwards. We didn't have that in Origin 1. And then our forwards became tied. So I think with Trbojevic, I think he's better suited for this New South Wales side as a winger because he does so much of the grunt work coming out of trouble.
He's a huge human. He's a big, big human, powerful human, as Dean Ritchie from The Telegraph is. Thanks.
Thank you for having me.
As always.